Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity and great privilege and time in your word. We are already anticipating great things as you make us aware of what each of us need to see and to know, what we need to perceive and understand in your word for our lives, as you help us in the growth that we need to have. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for helping us. We thank you tonight for helping us to see and to perceive. To see and to perceive everything that the Spirit of God is aware of that we are lacking. The Spirit of God knows full well every one of us and understands where we may be deficient in our understanding and in our experience. So, Lord, we want the Holy Spirit to turn up this whole experience in our hearing so that we might have those ears that are quick to hear, quick to perceive, and lay hold of what you are speaking to us out of your word. And we'll give you all the praise for that, Lord. All the glory is yours in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's go again to Psalm 19. Let's read our scripture for this series in the conversion of our souls. Let's read our scripture here in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, reminded, illuminated, and instructed. And in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his lapses and errors? Clear me from hidden and unconscious faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent and clear of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Why? You are my firm, impenetrable rock and my Redeemer. Can you say thank you, Lord, for his word tonight? All right, turn with me over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in your Bibles. And I think I will also, if you'll put your finger there, I think we'll also go over here to 1 Thessalonians just to read the scripture. We've been referring to it quite a bit. First Thessalonians 5 and 23. I'm going to read that first of all, and then we'll go back to Psalm 119 as the Holy Spirit leads. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, let's look at verse 24 here. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it. In other words, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good word? Faithful is he who is calling you. You see, don't you get the sense of God calling you every time we get into the Word of God? You never get the sense that you have arrived or that you are absolutely complete and in a place where you don't need any more help. But every time we get in the Word of God, we have that sense that he's calling us. Amen? And it says he's faithful. Faithful is he who is calling you. And look at this. He's faithful to himself. Now, we think about the Lord being faithful to us. And Lord, we want him to be faithful to us. Amen. And we just get great comfort and solace out of the fact that he is a faithful God. But now look at it. It says here that he's faithful to himself. Why? God fully understands that he is the God of love. He's the God of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. How many ever chances you need to get it right? He's faithful to himself. See, this is what the scripture means. This is another way of explaining the scripture that says that God is not a man that he should lie. There's no variableness or shadow of turning in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Hallelujah. Now that's the God you serve. He changes not. And on top of that, he is faithful to who he is. He is faithful to who he tells us he is throughout all of the old covenant and all of the new covenant. He's faithful to that revelation that he gives you about himself. And he'll never, ever change. He's the same from everlasting to everlasting. I love that. He's faithful to himself. And utterly trustworthy. Can you say that of anybody other than God? Utterly trustworthy. As far as trustworthy can go, he is. Hallelujah. And he will also do it. What will he do? What will he do? He will sanctify you through and through. Hallelujah. He will set you apart unto him through and through until there's nothing else left in you to set apart. Woo, glory to God. Shine on, Lord, shine on. Hallelujah, through and through. He will separate you from profane things. Honey, you don't know some of the profane things that you need to be separated from. Your estimation and understanding in profane things is limited. It's limited into what you have knowledge of in this world. You have yet to see some of the things that are profane in your soul that God wants to separate you from. Because most of the stuff that's in our soul, we've been comfortable with. Even since being born again, we've been comfortable with it. Somehow or another, we feel okay about listening to ourselves when ourselves say, well, you can catch up on your tithing later. That's profane. That's a profane thing. Well, you'll pray more later. You know, right now you're busy. You'll pray more. You can get into really some strong intercession and later, you know, but right now you need to take care of this. It's okay. God understands what you need to do. It's profane. Amen. See, the person that says, well, I'm going to get saved sometime. That's profane because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. And when you realize what salvation encompasses, then that means today is the day for you to get right with God in regard to your tithing. Today is the day to get right with God in regard to your prayer life. Today is the day to get right with God in regard to your witnessing to the saving power of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Right now is the time for us to do whatever God is bidding us to do. And it's profane for us to procrastinate. And he's come to separate us from every profane thing. Every profane thing. Separate you from profane things. Make you pure. Make you pure. It's not popular to be pure in the world today. It's not popular for young ladies to dress like they're pure. It's not popular for young men to carry themselves as though they're pure. We live in a profane world. And it's cool to look like you're impure. It's cool to look like you are sexually involved with somebody. It's cool for you to look like you're not right with God. And because of that, I don't want to be cool anymore. No, I don't want to be cool anymore. I want to be holy. Hallelujah. He'll separate you from profane things, make you pure. And holy, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, that means all of you, will be consecrated to God. Consecrated to God. Consecration can't have its full work until separation is allowed. There's times of consecration that will come to you by the Spirit of God. Times that God will call, not just your church or your denomination, but times of consecration, seasons of consecration when you'll be called of God to live a more consecrated life. But sanctification must be allowed first of all. Once you are set aside, then the work of consecration can begin. Amen? All you have to do is to follow the line of the scripture. And then it says, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You need to ask the Lord to help you to be the type of believer that desires for the Lord to come. That's the kind of believer you need to be. You need to be saying in your spirit and in your heart, come, Lord Jesus. I want to see him. I want him to come. And with that revelation alive and well on the inside of you, then you will just take all of the resistance out of your soul against the sanctification process. You'll take all of the resistance out of your soul in regard to the consecration that God wants to do in your life. But you must have a desire for the Lord to come. How do you begin? You simply say, Lord, I desire to see you. Come, Lord Jesus. Remember, Brother Hagin said, the problem that God showed him with most of the believers were that they were saying what they have rather than saying what they want. Talking about what problems they had. Talking about what difficulties were before them. As if they were too strong for the Lord. And that's what happens in your mind and in your heart when all you do is talk about your problems and lift up your difficulties and think about how difficult life is. You're blowing up something between you and God that disallows you to see Him in all of His glory. And though you may blow it up and it might be big in front of you and God and it might block your view of Him, it doesn't make Him less God than He is. Doesn't make Him less God than He is. He's still great. He's still awesome. He's all powerful. You have to take care of those things that you have allowed to be between you and your Father. You have to take care of it. See? Sanctification comes, but it works in regard to your will. If you don't will it, it ain't going to happen. If you don't will it, it won't happen. You can talk about it. You can even pray about it. But if you don't will it, then God's not able to actually perform what He said He would do. He's not going to force any of the good things that He's designed for your life on you. Not a single thing. He's not going to force it on you. The time that you see force coming from God is when you have walked perfectly in His will and you've been obedient. And then He starts talking about how that the former rain and the latter rain will overlap. And you begin to be overwhelmed by blessing. That's the kind of force that He likes to bring. Not a force to make you do something, but a force that brings blessing that nothing can stop because you've been obedient. Because you've been willing. Amen? See, many of you can say you've been obedient in some things, but what about your willingness? What about your willingness? Are you still talking about how difficult it is to do God's will? Then that's a sign of unwillingness. That's giving evidence of an unwilling spirit that you're giving yourself up to. I don't have time or words to waste on talking about trouble. Or words and time to waste talking about problems. And a lot of people have got this part right, but the latter part of it's not right. They're saying, you know, that I won't complain. You hear that a lot. You ask people how they're doing, and they say, well, I'm not going to complain. But the latter part of it is not right. They say, I'm not going to complain because no one will listen. I know somebody that will listen to your complaints. You know who it is? He'd love to hear your complaints. The devil. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. And not only is he accusing you, but he's accusing God. He'll accuse you of stuff to God. And he'll accuse God to you. So that you'll begin to blame God for what you're going through. I heard it, the statement made this weekend. It is so deeply entrenched in the church. It's like a sickness. When we begin to get into situations that are very strong and very difficult, our first thoughts will go to God as if He is the one that has ordained it and created the problem. There has to be a time when we grow to the point where we can discern what's going on in our life. And not giving ourselves up to our emotions and just saying, God, now what are you doing, God? Now, God, why are you doing this, God? And we don't know what, we don't have discernment into what's going on, but we're blaming God. And the devil loves that. He loves that. Right? All right, let's look at it like this. You've been drafted or you volunteered for the service. You knew that you would get in the line of fire because you are a soldier. Your mission is to defend yourself, your fellow soldiers, and the cause for which they sent you into the battle in the first place. You know that your government is behind you. You know that the people of your nation are behind you. And when you get out there in battle, you lose sight of that. And when the enemy begins to shoot at you, and if he nicks you, and a bullet glazes your forehead, who do you blame? Who do you blame? Who do you blame? You wouldn't be thinking about it in the moment that you feel the burn going across your forehead. It wouldn't take you that long to answer when you felt the sting of the bullet creasing your arm. Yeah. You would like to blame the person that puts you in the line of fire. That's what you'd like to blame. You'd like to blame the army. Your commanding officer, whoever that might be. But he's not shooting at you. He's not the enemy. Or she. Not the enemy. And the only reason why you would get into that place where you begin the blame game is because you lose sight of the cause. You lose sight of the cause, and then all you can think about is, it sure is cold in this foxhole. It's wet in this foxhole. I didn't have this going on when I was at home. I could be in the club with my homies, having a good time. But now I'm stuck out here in this foxhole. It's cold, it's wet, I'm hungry. People shooting at me. You're not thinking about the cause, are you?
No.
See? And so here we are, we've been inducted into the army of God. We are soldiers in the kingdom of God. And the apostle Peter said, "Think it not strange that the fiery trial, which is to try your faith." But we do. We think it's strange. We think it's strange. We just think it's so strange that I'm being tested. So strange that I've been tempted. So strange that stuff is happening with my money or stuff is happening in my body. This is so strange. God, what are you doing? It's not God. I just read what God said he would do. Go back to what God said he would do. He will sanctify you through and through. That's what he said he would do. Hallelujah. I left there too fast. Let me get back over here. 1 Thessalonians. No, I didn't leave it. I left my water bottle cap in there, right on where it needed to be. And may the God of peace, you know what? When you get into the blame game, do you have any peace? You have no peace. And if he's a God of peace and you don't have any, then that means he's not involved in whatever it is you're feeling. Because he's the God of peace. Come on now. See, in your mind, you'd like to think that the whole sanctification process is painful. Well, it doesn't sound like it right here. If he's the God of peace, what's so painful about you being sanctified? What's so painful about you being consecrated? If it said it would be painful, you'd see it in the scripture, wouldn't you? See, we create our own doctrines about what God's doing in our lives, and we try to live by our own tradition and our own doctrine, just like the Israelites did when they tried to keep the commandments and couldn't do it, and so they came up with their tradition. And they were deep and wide, baby. If you ever study it out and see some of the things that you must do,
to keep tradition under the old covenant. See, Jesus said, you make the commandment of God void and without effect through your tradition. And you and I can make the word of God void and non-effective through our own thoughts, through our own contrived ideas about what God's doing in our life apart from what the word of God says. That's why your opinion and mine ain't worth a hill of beans. See? Because it's separate and distinct from what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Lose your opinion. Get the word of God. Amen? Is that a little strong? Huh? So watch your mouth. Watch your words. Remember the latter part of our scripture over here in Psalm 19. Before we got, you know, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The only acceptable meditation and words in our hearts before God is that which is in agreement with his plan. That which agrees with his words. God is not sympathetic toward your feeling. And if he was, you'd never get out. If he was, you'd never get completely whole in your spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And you can tell that this is deep in the body because folk get mad at preachers that are not sympathetic toward their feelings. Some of the looks I get is like, won't you be sympathetic toward what I'm feeling? Won't you? No. And then they're offended because that's the way they want to live their lives. Show me some sympathy. Be empathetic toward what I'm going. Haven't you gone through this kind of thing before? Maybe. I don't remember. I got a block there in my memory banks. I don't remember it, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. I hope I didn't look as bad as you, because you look pitiful. Lord have mercy. I hope I wasn't shining a light like that. I hope I wasn't misrepresenting the Lord like I've seen on the faces of some believers and some of the things that I've heard come out of some believers' mouths. Misrepresenting the Lord altogether. All right, let's go back to Psalm 119. You're saying thank you because I'm getting off of that and going back to Psalm 119. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 12. Psalm 119, verse 12. I don't blame you, brother. I get it right, too. I don't want to be misunderstood. Hallelujah. You're in the house of God. Angels are listening to you. Amen. And it goes further than that. God's reading the very meditation of your heart. The very intent of your heart, God is reading that by his spirit. That's how deep his work is in our lives. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. You know, evidently, God teaching us his statutes is much more varied and deep than what we realize, because we think we can just read it and we have it. But all we have to do is spend a little time in the Word and we begin to realize, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I went to college, got a degree. Hey, I don't know nothing. I mean, the Holy Spirit can show you in a hillbilly minute. You ain't accomplished nothing. I tell you, it's dangerous to think anything of yourself. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to think anything of yourself. Listen, when people start trying to talk about you and pat you on the back and try to make you need to, you may not be able to do it outside, but on the inside, you ought to be saying, man, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they do. I mean, I need to get with God, man. I need the Lord. Woo, they see any good thing in me is Jesus. I need to be with God right now. They talking all this mess. Now, I know they wouldn't understand it. They would not understand it if you come out and said that. No, you're a fine man. Fine person. We think a lot of you. Well, time to get back to the Baptist church. Wow. No, I got some stuff to tell you. Lord have mercy. I got some stuff to tell you. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared and recounted all the ordinances of your mouth. What I'm doing is I'm recounting and I'm declaring back to you what you said to me. Now that's what we're supposed to be doing. Recount. I mean, go back, you know, and bring back to mind what God has said to you. I have to do it in regard to this ministry. See, because your intellect, which is the human part of you that perceives things, it looks at the natural, right? So you get messages all the time through your intellect about what's going on, what's happening, all the time. But what we have to do is redirect. Say redirect. Redirect. So what we have to do is redirect our minds on God and recount what he said to us. Amen? And recount and remember and declare back to him every word that he's spoken to us. That's what we must do. And then when you get in those difficult situations, even if they're life-threatening, you know? I mean, you can get into situations that are life-threatening that just seems like this is it. This is it. We, in a few moments, you're going to see the Lord. This is it. Yeah. Shoot. Since I know this, what I'm going to do with lightning fast speed is recount to the Lord what he said to me. Right? That's what I'm going to do. Have you finished yet? You didn't tell me you were. Hey! Talk to me. Come on now. I mean, just you can imagine it, just whatever you want to. Big cobra, 19-foot cobra, done coiled up in front of you. That head going back and forth like this. You know how they like to do. Throwing that tongue out there. Going back and forth. Just ready to strike at any time. Just pacing itself. What are you going to do? Stand there paralyzed? Well, this is it. This is it. Lord, I'll be in your presence in just a few moments. What you need to hear from heaven is, did I tell you I was through with you yet?
Amen.
Or what did I tell you just a few weeks ago about your calling and your election and what you would do, where you would go, and who you would touch? Now, because you're looking at some type of threatening situation in your life, you're going to forget all of that now and just give up and die? Don't you want to be welcomed into my presence? Don't you want to hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant? But God, there's a big old snake in front of me, and it's about to strike me. Set your mind on. See, the things of God just sound absolutely ridiculous whenever you're in difficult situations. Get your mind on me. And your eyes is like, I ain't taking my eyes off that snake. Ain't no way I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about how to get out of him. I got my mind on this snake. I got to look at him. I got to keep my eyes on him. And that's what the flesh generates and produces on the inside of you. See, he said, my ways are not your ways. My ways are not your ways. Moses, pick up the snake. You know that sounds utterly ridiculous. Pick up a snake? Come on. God wouldn't tell me to do that. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Now I remember where it was. Remember the scripture that we were looking at about gazing at the serpent. Find it for me, please, dear, if you can remember. It's in the Old Testament. There was a time when the Israelites were living in such a way, displeasing the God, complaining and murmuring. They surely weren't recounting to God everything that he said at all. They were not speaking back to God the words that he had spoke about them. They were all upset and discouraged because they couldn't have what they wanted, the way that they wanted it, at the time that they wanted. And so things just weren't good. Things were just not good, you know? And so all of this environment around them was just complain, 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 when it should have been worship, worship, worship. And so what the Lord did was he got upset with them. And so he decided to use serpents for his hickory. Yeah. You know, his hickory was going to be fiery serpents. Now, I don't know what that was, but I think that's a little bit higher, you know, a little bit. That's on a different plane from a regular snake. Fiery serpent. It sounded like to me, if they were fiery, you couldn't get a hold of them. You couldn't kill them. They were too fast. They sting you with that fang before you could do anything about it. Amen? So he released those fiery serpents among his people. Right? And it was deadly. It was poisonous. And they were dying. Right? And they cried out to God, and they cried out to Moses, and Lord have mercy, it was pitiful. You don't ever want to go to a church like that. It was awful. You don't want to be around people like that, you know? And so what happened was this. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, get you some bronze, shape it, mold it into the form of a serpent on a pole, and set it up so that the people will look at it. And he said, if they will gaze attentively at the serpent with expectancy, I'll heal them. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. In the first place, this isn't what you and I would have thought in our minds to do. Because the thing that's causing me problem is the fiery serpent. I don't want to look at something that looks like it. Create me a dove and put it on the pole. You know, shape a dove and put it on the pole, something peaceful looking. I mean, he was commanded of God to shape a fiery serpent out of bronze, put it on the pole. Amen. And then he said, you are to gaze intently upon it. It's in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. Let's look at this a moment. While we were away in this conference, the Lord showed us this in our hotel room one night. 21 in verse 9 says this. Let me see here. All right. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked on the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, and with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that even though you complain about various things, they don't go away? Have you noticed that? The very thing that you desire for God to do is to take it away. Put it behind you. This too will pass. We want to get out of there. And that's exactly what he doesn't do. He doesn't ever do that, does he? I mean, you have a person on your job that just gives you, you know, that word, a hard time. And you pray about it. You pray about them and all this kind of stuff, you know. And you go back to work on Monday morning and there they are. They don't move. They don't retire. They're like iron. What needs to happen is they don't necessarily need to move, but you need to change. Amen. See, the difficulty doesn't need to actually move necessarily, but you need to change. I need to change. My whole attitude about it needs to change. See, so he sets up before them the very thing that's giving them a problem, that's scaring the living daylights out of them. Man, you can you imagine? They're out there in tents, brother. Can you imagine? It ain't like your home. You got door seals and everything in your apartment and at your home. And stuff just can't get into your house. Right? Anything can't just get into your house. The opossum can't get into your house unless you leave the door open. Come on. Amen. You got a good foundation. You know, you got these nice big heavy doors and they're sealed. Just stuff, just anything just can't get in your house. Right? But man, they're living in tents. And the fiery serpents, can you imagine when they go in, they go to bed, they're looking under their little roll-up mat bed or whatever they're sleeping on, you know. They go to get dressed, they're shaking the clothes out. Because these things are in the camp and they know it. They're being terrorized by these fiery serpents. God said, I've had enough. And so he sent his hickory in there and he's whooping, brother. He is whooping and stinging. And I'm telling you, it's dangerous. People are dying. And he says, okay, Moses, make a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent has bitten any man, when he looked on to the serpent of bronze, attentively, don't miss that. Expectantly, don't miss that. And with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. So what do we have to do? See, this is the one thing that we don't like to do when we're in trouble and when stuff is happening. We don't like to pay attention. We don't want to pay attention to God. We want to think about the problem and we want to force God to do what we want him to do in that situation. And we do our best to force him to do what we want him to do. And he's saying to us, no, 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 no. My ways are not your ways. You need to pay attention. Pay attention. Isn't it interesting that God yet still tries to train us to listen in difficult situations? It would be much nicer if we could just learn everything we needed to learn in an environment like this where we have a nice cool building, nice seats that are comfortable for ourselves, and we're able to just enjoy the environment with praise and worship, learn everything we need to learn and just go out into life and never have a problem. You're not hearing everything in this environment. Even though the anointing is here, as a teacher, you're still not hearing everything. Because there's a voice out of your soul that is interrupting the Spirit of God. And you don't recognize it because you like yourself. You do now. You like yourself, and so you pay attention to yourself more than you do to God. Well, don't shout me down just because it's getting good. And so God says, all right, we'll go right back to a previous revelation. I'll give you some sanctified experiences out there. And I'm going to speak to you as it begins to happen. Pay attention. Amen. Pay attention and then expect a miracle. In other words, God's saying, stop being dumb and get spiritual. Stop acting stupid and silly and act like you're a soldier with orders. You got orders and you're a soldier. Perform your duty. Pay attention. Expect a miracle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Doesn't that sound like recount everything that he said out of his mouth to you? And then you in turn rehearse it back to him? Doesn't it? That's what we are supposed to do. Amen. I don't want to hear anybody saying, Lord, help us, we're not living like you've ordained for us to live. Lord, forgive us because we've not been. I mean, you got to get over that. Right. You keep talking like that, you keep living like that. You keep repenting of it, which is not really repentance, because if you keep saying it, you ain't repented of it. You're just saying that you need to repent of it. And you make that spiritual. See, but if you really repent, you change your mind, and that means changing your mind in this situation means that you do what the scripture tells you to do. There's nothing else for you to do if you really repented except to obey God. Do what he says. You are guaranteed to have trouble this week. Hallelujah. Guaranteed. You know, if you want to check me out and see if I'm a true prophet, watch me. You are guaranteed. I know that's a weak way for you to test the prophet out, because trouble's everywhere, brother. And you're going to have some of it. You're going to have. It would be miraculous for you to get through the week and not have some type of altercation in your life. Really. Even if you do everything right, somebody's going to look at you wrong. So you're going to have some trouble. See? And so this is a part of our schooling. So what we need to do is to learn what we're supposed to do. And the more I do it, the more proficient I get at it. Come on. And the less you will hear complaints from me. And if you're not hearing any complaints from me, the less you, Father God, when he read the intents of my heart, the less and less will he see in my heart thoughts and feelings that are contrary to this right here. That's what really matters. Right? Get your mind off of trying to look just right to everybody, because God looks at the intent of your heart. And when everything about you looks right on the outside, he sees the wrong on the inside. So we ought to be concerned about what's in our hearts. Yes. Which is another way of saying our souls need to be converted. They need to change. So what do? That's exactly right. That's what I do. I stop sitting around. I stop musing. And I stop complaining. And I stop making excuses. And I do the word. Do it. Say, do it.
Do it.
I do the word. Hallelujah. And you step out in faith, just do what the word says and stop all that foolishness, all that musing and thinking to yourself. Think you got a plan, think you can fix things. Give me a break. What you're trying to do ain't even a Band-Aid. Come on. That's not even a Band-Aid. So we need to recount what the word says, recount what God says out of his mouth. Remember the ordinances of his mouth, and then rehearse that back to him. Amen. You know, you would help yourself, and I would help myself a whole lot if I just accept this and get into practice of doing it before trouble comes. And you don't wait for trouble to come to start saying, well, when next time something happens, this is what I'm going to do. You need to begin now, sweetheart. Before you walk into the face of something, you need to make it a practice of doing this type of thing. And then as you go into whatever it is, you know, that the enemy may bring against you, you would already habitually be in the place of doing that. See? And you would just habitually walk right into it doing what you're supposed to do. And expecting a miracle, we would see God's hand move for us in a majestic way. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way, verse 14 of Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, that's interesting. You know, when we stop to study this, you see there's so much to glean from it. Here he is, he's saying, I'm rejoicing in the way of his testimonies. Have you ever thought of testimonies having a way? We always think of testimonies as just being something that you listen to. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. So whatever God testifies to has a way. Glory to God. Woo. You know what it sounds like to me? When he testifies of something, stuff happens. I mean, when God speaks, stuff happens. Woo, glory to God. What did we read earlier? Said he was what? Faithful to himself. If he said something, it creates a happening. It creates a happening. And so we need to rejoice in his testimonies. See, his testimonies are those things that he says. And it shows us the way of God. When he testifies, it shows us the way of God. My God. And man, this is powerful. Because see, when he testifies and he shows you his way, aren't we supposed to be followers of the way? Yes. That's why he likes to talk to you. Because he wants you to follow what he says. Glory to God. Follow what he says to you. Amen. He said, I rejoice in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. Well, you know, if you're enjoying riches, you know, riches in a sense have ways. They develop things. They make things happen, you know, that cause things to occur. You know? The best way for me to explain this to you with my comical, illuminated imagination, go back to the movie Cars, right? And when that little Corvette or whatever he is, it looks like a little Corvette maybe. Maybe it's a Camaro. We'll say Camaro. Looks a little bit more like a Camaro. At least a race car does, right? And when he turns to the side and he flashes his lights, he says, I create things in people. Feelings that they didn't know that they had. Ting! Amen? Yeah. God wants to stir some stuff up in you, man. When he speaks to you, it'll move you on it. Woo, glory to God. It'll move you on the inside when he speaks to you. Glory. I like his word. Don't you like his word? He goes on in verse 15 to say, I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways. Now he begins to give definition to it here with the Amplified. They begin to give definition to it out of the Hebrew. The paths, his ways are the paths of life marked out by your law. So God's word marks out a path for you to follow. You understand that? When God speaks to you, he's marking a path out for you personally. And we're to follow that way. Follow it. That way will lead you to whatever God has destined for you to enjoy in life. Everything that you need, you're going to find it on that path. You're not going to find it any other way, sweetheart. You are a believer. God cannot afford for you to get things that you desire or things that you want in some way other than the way of faith. It will mess you up as a believer. It'll totally wreck what God wants to do in your life if you find an alternative way to get the things in life that you need and that you want. You've got to do it by faith. The reward that I'm enjoying right now, I got that by sowing for it. I sowed for it, and I gave my word of faith. I spoke what I wanted. I said it. And ever since that was taken care of with the seed, it's been a while. It ain't overnight. Sowed for my reward a while back. And then when it was time for that seed to come up, I saw it in more than one place. And each one of them had the desired components that I wanted. And then guess what I had to do? Then I had to let God choose the best one for me instead of getting in the flesh and saying, I want that one. I had to let him show me which one was best. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he will not be satisfied with you getting anything in your flesh. He's going to show you how he'll bring things to you by faith. He can't afford for you to go down another path. His law, the ordinances of God, mark out his pathway for you to walk. You know, a lot of people, you know, that are so spiritual, they don't want to talk about, you know, possessions and things and the desires of the heart in that way. They're so deep and so spiritual. All they're talking about is getting closer to God. You know what I mean? God made you to like stuff. What are you going to mess with his creation for? He made you to like stuff. Can you imagine how dull your life would be if you didn't have taste buds? You know what I mean? You wouldn't enjoy what you ate. You would take all the choice out of it completely. You would take all the choice out of it. There's stuff out there. You wouldn't care about it. I mean, you wouldn't sit down and enjoy anything. It wouldn't make any difference what people set before you. It would throw the whole system off in restaurants because they're making money based on the palate of people. They're willing to pay $25, $35, $45 for a dish because no one can fix it like you. Right? And God created you to like, gave you a palate for certain things. He really did. See? And that's one of the ways he rewards you is by giving you the desire of your heart. And yet people will try to be so spiritual and say, God is not interested in what kind of car you drive. He's not interested in the clothes and all that kind of stuff. That's a lie.
Yes, it is.
That's a lie. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He created it for us to enjoy every bit of it. The devil's got most of your stuff because you won't get on the pathway that God has for you to walk on so that you can get to it. And you're missing it. Because if you get on the pathway that he's designed for you to walk on to get to what you desire, you're going to get closer to God because you're going to rejoice in your heart in his way. You can rejoice in your heart over a God that showed you how to attain what you need to attain in life on those pathways. And you will love him. He knows that. And that's why the devil gets in religion and tries to come against faith, tries to come against prosperity and all of those things. We have a God that we can delight in. Our God is a God of love. Our God cares about us. He loves us. He romances us. He gives us gifts. All of that. See? So it's important for us to recognize the pathway that his word opens up for us. Get on that pathway and follow him in his way. You have to, in order to do that, you got to meditate on this precept. And you have to show real reverence for it and have respect for it. Amen? Look at verse 16. Now, I mean, the psalmist really had this thing down, man. I'm telling you. Do you see how many I wills is in the scripture when he talked about the various things that he's going to do? He had confession down. See, we struggle with it. And we say, well, I want to do the right thing. Would you pray for me that I'd have more faith? I want to draw nigh to my God. And I just don't feel like I'm there. I ain't praying for you. I don't even want to be around you while you're talking like that. That ain't no way for a pastor to talk. Yes, it is. You're not going to hear nothing else. If I give you what you want, I'll be breaking every law of the kingdom of God. You already have faith. God gave it to you when you got saved. If you don't have any faith, then you're not a believer. When he said, I've measured every man the measure of faith, he's talking about every man that has received the Lord Jesus Christ, not every man in the world. Everyone that is born again had to receive a measure of faith or you couldn't be born again. Now, if you want more of it, you got to use what you got. Get on the pathway. Follow him in the way. Do what he says. Or else you're going to stay in your apartment when God wants you to have a house. Or else you're going to continue to be without money when God wants you to have a business. You're going to stay in that place until you put your faith to work. And the longer you procrastinate, the deeper the hole you're going to have to dig yourself out of. Boy, doesn't it get quiet when that long hickory of the Word of God slaps you on your behind. We don't want to say nothing then. This is the time you ought to be saying amen, because you ought to be like David saying, I will. Yeah, you ought to be like David saying, I will. Instead, we hear the Word of God and we sit there and we get paralyzed in fear. When you ought to be saying, I will. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to break free from yourself. The devil ain't doing that to you. You're doing it to yourself. He's scared of you accepting this. Yes, he is. He's terrified that you'll accept it and act on it. He's terrified of it. He's scared you're going to get out of that stuff and get on top and start prospering and being a sign and a wonder to people. He's scared that you'll take the Word of God to heart and put it to work. He's scared of it. Because this is the way we show the world that God is alive and that Jesus was really sent into this planet. The world's got to see by demonstration. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to my message. They're not going to take time to let this foolishness to the natural man, the things of God. Why would they want to listen to me? But if you will demonstrate the love, if you'll demonstrate the power, if you'll demonstrate the provision of God, they'll stop and take notice of you. And then you can preach. And that's exactly what God wants to do. So meditate in his precepts. And then delight yourself in his statute. Delight in him. I will. Say, I will delight in the word of God. I will not forget the word of God. Now you got people walking around saying, I got the worst memory. I just have a bad memory. No, you're not supposed to be saying stuff like that. Say what you want. You want a good memory? Then say, I've got a great memory. Yes, I've got a great memory. I can remember the word of God. It comes to me just when I need it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. It comes to me, I remember it. And I'm using it, glory to God. Got a good memory. Woo, hallelujah. We'll close with this one. Verse 17, I think we will anyway. He says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. Most believers want God to leave them alone. David said, deal bountifully with me. Right? Most Christians want the preacher to shut up. Don't go there. Leave that alone. Get back over yonder. David said, bring it on, Lord. Speak to me. I mean, he's the one that says, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. My God, what kind of statement is that? Whoo, Jesus. I mean, he got some stuff right with God, evidently. Don't you believe? Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. See, God dealing with you bountifully will bring you to life and life more abundantly. It's not going to deplete you, diminish you, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to bring you to life. And then he says, and I will observe your word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. See? If you deal bountifully with me, I'm going to live. And I give myself up to you, Lord, to deal bountifully with me. Don't leave me alone. No, don't leave me alone. Deal bountifully with me. If you deal bountifully with me, then I'm going to live. I'm going to have life. And you said you came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I want abundance, Lord. I want that abundant life. And I will rejoice in your word. I will delight in your word. Just as the scripture says. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray tonight that you would deal bountifully with this church, with every one of us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would walk up and down the corridors of our heart. Let your word walk up and down the corridors of our heart again and say, this place over here, take possession of it. This room over here that's marked on the door, untouchable, I'm opening that door. Come in and touch everything in here and bring life. Bring life in these deep, dark places where there's been death. Everything that's not like you, Lord, purge it. Bring destruction to it. I'm asking you, Lord, by your word, to sow the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in my soul. Sow it. Sow it. Sow the seed of your word in my soul. And let it bring a harvest of revelation and understanding in the ways and the purposes of God for my life. And may I abound in my faith and move forward and go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. I'll give you all the praise for it, Lord. Let's go to the blessing now, everybody. Psalm 67. God be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us and among us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, O God. Let all the peoples praise and give thanks to you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples fairly and guide, lead, and drive the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, O God. Let the peoples praise and give thanks to you. The earth has yielded its harvest and evidence of your approval. God, even our own God, bless us. God, bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall reverently fear you, Lord. And Numbers 6 and 24, the Jewish blessing again. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Can you say praise the Lord tonight? Can you say bless his holy name? Oh God, we give you praise. We worship you, Lord. Come on, give him glory. We worship you, Lord.